You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Craig, listening in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Craig.
Hi, how are you doing? My 24-year-old daughter is a Christian but struggling a little bit with her faith. And one of the questions she gave me and to think about, and I don't want to give her a pat answer, so I want to get a little more insight. But she said, what if I wasn't born in a Christian family or I was born in the Middle East? How would I know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven that separates me from heaven and hell? And how's that fair? Is that not like a parent lottery? You're just lucky wherever you're born. And I'm not quite sure how to answer her.
Well, I think, and I've pointed this out from time to time, one of the best ways is to take her to Acts, where Paul is at the Areopagus in Athens, and while he's there, he points to an unknown God and says, let me use that as an illustration of the God who created the heavens and the earth. And then he says, from one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. Which is to say, no matter where we are born, we have the light of creation. So men are without excuse. Why? Because God's eternal power, divine nature, are understood through what has been made. So the heavens declaring the glory of God are available to all people everywhere. That's not a parochial or provincial kind of an idea. It is a universal idea. Everyone universally has access to the light of creation. But there's something more, and that is God has always written a knowledge of himself, as it were, in the DNA of human beings. So people have the knowledge internally just as they have the knowledge externally. The point being, then, is that if you seek after light, you will receive light. And therefore, I have often said, it is not the absence of knowledge that damns. It is the despising of knowledge that damns. Now, I didn't pick that out of thin air. That really is a maxim that comes from Christ, who's talking to Nicodemus. He said, light came into darkness. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So the problem is never that there's not enough light somewhere on the planet. The problem is that people despise the light and therefore remain in darkness. The other thing that I would say, though, in more of a general sense, is we can leave every single person in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God. So at the end of the day, what we do is we trust God to be perfectly just and perfectly merciful and loving for all people everywhere at all times. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Thomas in Branson, Missouri. Hi, Thomas.
Hi.
Hi.
I appreciate you taking my call.
It is my privilege.
I just had a real quick question.
Sure.
Basically, what I was wondering is, it's kind of like a two-part thing, but what is it that makes Israel God's chosen people? And then also, I guess, who is true Israel? Because I've heard a lot of speculation as to who that is, as well as the new church replacing Israel. And so that was my question.
Yeah. So the first part of your question is that if you are in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. So you are chosen because you are in Christ. Why? Because Galatians 3 points out, Abraham had one royal seed. That royal seed is Jesus Christ. And again, if you are in Jesus Christ, you're the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. And what makes true Israel? Well, true Israel is every single person who is a friend of God in both covenants. So true Israel encapsulates Rahab, who is a Canaanite, or Ruth, who is a Moabite. It encompasses all those who are friends of God, one chosen people, one covenant community, beautifully connected by the cross, and illustrated by Paul as a cultivated olive tree. Again, all who are in Christ are true Israel. And that's why Jesus can say, there's true and false Israel. There are those who say they are Jews, but they are a synagogue of Satan, says Jesus Christ. Not all who say they are Jews in the sense of being true Israel. So it simply has nothing whatsoever to do with ethnicity. It has everything to do with a relationship with Yahweh, the God of Israel, ultimately revealed in Jesus Christ. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Lawrence in Greensboro, North Carolina. Hi, Lawrence.
How you doing today, sir?
Doing okay.
I love your show.
Thank you.
I'm really trying to do better at Bible study and just kind of starting out. I'm wondering, what are the best books to read first?
You know, one of the things that I always tell people, Lawrence, is that you cannot understand the Bible as a whole without understanding its individual parts, nor its individual parts without understanding the Bible as a whole. So I think one of the most helpful things to do is get sort of the big picture, what's going on. And the big picture in Scripture is that God creates humanity. Humanity falls into lives of perpetual sin, terminated by death, and then the rest of the Bible is God's unfolding plan of redemption, culminating in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. So that's the big picture. Paradise lost becomes paradise restored. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, touches the fall or the fallen Edenic garden. And he also touches the eternal garden, and he becomes the one who, through the cross, takes what was lost and restores it, paradise lost becoming paradise restored. So that's the big picture. Now, if you want to really get a sense of who Christ is, I love starting with the Gospel of John. And I like it because John is such an incredible author. And what he does is he gives you sort of the main and the plain things with respect to Christ in thematic order, not chronological order, but in themes. And it's a beautiful book for, to use the word, baby Christians to engulf themselves in.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. That helps a lot.
You got it. And I think, too, one of the things I might be able to help you with is I have a reading plan. It's called a Legacy Bible Reading Plan. And that really teaches you how to read the Bible in the sense in which it is intended. It also breaks the Bible up into modules. So, for example, you know, when you read one author at the same time, it's very, very helpful because every author has his own style. So if you read Moses, the five books of Moses, is good to read them together. If you read John, to read the five books of John is good to read together. So this legacy reading plan shows you how to read through the Bible in a year, but do it in such a way that you're not reading bits, but you're reading books and getting the gist of what the author is talking about. Now, that legacy reading plan is found on the web at equip.org. If you can access that, I also have that in a book which is titled Has God Spoken? And if I could recommend a book to you, a book that I have written that really gives you a sense of understanding God's imprimatur on the Bible and how to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended, that book would do it. And it also has the legacy reading plan in the back of it for reference. So that might be some helpful aids as you learn to study the Bible in the sense in which it's intended.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to go there right now and get that. Thank you so much. So much help.
You got it. And again, the book, Has God Spoken? For anyone listening in, you can find it on the web at equip.org, or you can simply order it at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Do remember, as always, our resource consultants, they are standing by at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. As we go to break, I want to mention CRI's monthly support team. It is the foundation of support for this ministry, a ministry that is carried on around the world 24/7. And we ask people to join CRI's monthly support team. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. When you join, be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. Also, do want to mention my daily e-truth. It's free of charge. It comes to your inbox when you sign up for it, and you can do that by going to equip.org as well. Sign up right there on the homepage and take a look at the Journal. It is our award-winning magazine. It's a subscription magazine. You can subscribe in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org. All of that on the web again at equip.org. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
In his profound book, The Theology of Illness, Professor Jean-Claude Larcher offers provocative proclamations on suffering and illness, such as, "There is no question that people today have far fewer resources than their ancestors did to deal with illness." Simply put, The Theology of Illness will challenge your understanding of what true health really is. To receive a copy of The Theology of Illness for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master. Not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. A reminder to download CRI's Equip app if you have not done so already. Simply go to equip.org/app. On the app, you can listen to live Bible Answer Man broadcasts. You can listen to archived editions. You can read hundreds of well-researched articles. You can give in a safe, secure fashion and much, much more. Again, go to equip.org/app. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Paul in Clarksville, Tennessee. Hi, Paul.
Good evening. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I want to say, first off, I appreciate what you're doing. I think you're doing a lovely job.
Thank you.
Second, I had heard recently somebody suggest that there's no scriptural basis for the rapture of believers. And I'd always understood that, at some point in time in the future that none of us are aware of exactly the time, believers will be raptured from this world before the very end. In your study of the Bible, do you find any scriptural basis for or even against the rapture of believers at some point?
Well, I don't find any biblical basis for a pre-tribulational rapture in Scripture. And what I would find is precisely the opposite based on our Lord's own very precious words, where he says a time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Now, I would say that the plain and literal sense of our Lord's word suggests a moment in the future when both the righteous and the unrighteous will be resurrected and judged together. So the notion that some believers will come out of their graves at the rapture and others 1,007 years later, I think, is an imposition on the biblical text. Now, this is one of those issues we can debate vigorously. We ultimately don't have to divide over, but certainly I don't see any biblical basis for the notion of a pre-tribulational rapture.
Okay, I appreciate your view there. I will go back to Scripture and read the areas that you talked about just now and try to read that with a an open mind. Thanks.
Well, that's music to my ears, because that's exactly what you ought to do. I don't want people to take my word for this. It's important to test what I say in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good. So, music to my ears. Thank you so much. Appreciate your call and the tenor of your call as well. It sounds like Paul had a different position. He hasn't necessarily accepted what I said, but I love what he said. I'll go to Scripture and check that out. And I've mentioned on the Bible Instrument broadcast many times that this is precisely what the Bereans did. They tested the Apostle Paul to see if what he was saying was in accord with what God had already said. And what did Paul say in response to that? You are noble, because you're testing. In light of the final court of arbitration, you're testing in light of Scripture, and that's very, very good. So Paul commended the Bereans and said they were more noble than the Thessalonians. And I never forget that. In fact, when I was in Greece, it's one of the first things that came to mind. I stood beneath a statue of the Apostle Paul, and I told that story to a number of people that were gathered there. Let me say one other thing about this idea of the tribulation. And I talk about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. I say that there is no biblical basis for a coming seven-year tribulation during which a vast majority of Jews will die either. That, of course, is not to suggest that Jews have not faced such tribulations in the past, but there's no warrant for suggesting, as many do that hold to the pre-tribulational rapture theory, that two-thirds of the Jews that have been herded into the Holy Land are going to be bludgeoned to death in a Holocaust that exceeds any Holocaust that has happened in Jewish history. That's an idea that has been imposed in the Scripture, but I see no basis for it in the Scripture. And again, I point this out in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. And there's one final point I would make, and then we'll go back to our calls, and that is, just as there is no biblical warrant for a pre-tribulational rapture or a future seven-year tribulation, so too there is no biblical basis for believing in a second chance for salvation after the second coming of Christ. Christ is, as always, crystal clear. All given to him by the Father will be raised up on the last day. And in similar fashion, the Apostle Paul pointed out that the liberation of creation goes hand in hand with the redemption of our bodies. And therefore, we can be certain that no one will be saved following the second coming of Christ. The notion that our bodies are redeemed at the rapture and that the church is liberated from its bondage to decay approximately, as I said earlier, 1,007 years later is, in my view, without biblical basis. At the second appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, the church universal, is complete. No one else can be saved. The end has come. Again, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, available through the ministry. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. And for those who join Sierra's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member or a friend. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Gene, listening in Los Angeles, California, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Gene.
Hi, Hank. My question to you is, what does the Bible say about remarriage? I had done it more than once, unfortunately, before I really understood the Bible and really dedicated my life to the Lord. And now I'm ended up with a person who is up and down emotionally. He tells me to leave. He tells me to stay. He is emotionally abusive. Am I permitted to just separate and never marry again? Or what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think the one thing that would be beautiful in this particular situation is to recognize that if you have become a participant in the kingdom, a follower of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you can stay in the relationship and use the opportunity of this relationship to be a testimony to your husband, to bless him through the testimony of your life and the testimony of your love, and even the testimony of your lips, if that becomes appropriate. You can't force feed anyone, but you can be a light to him and in the process be a light to the world. Because one of the beautiful things about marriage is it is a testimony of Christ and the church, that Christ gave himself up for the church, and so we ought to love one another with that kind of love. Now, if your husband becomes physically abusive and dangerous in that sense, it would be wise to separate. And it might even be wise to separate with really bad spiritual and psychophysical abuse. Other kinds of abuse are also very, very dangerous, and in that case, maybe separation would be a good thing. But what I'm suggesting, that the ultimate good is not to get a divorce. The ultimate good is to ask the Lord to do something miraculous. Your husband is sanctified by his relationship with you. Does not mean that he is saved by his relationship, but he is set apart in a sense because he's under the influence of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is within you. And that is a powerful, powerful thing that can bring change. Now, again, it's not your responsibility to change him. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. But you can be a light in the process. Now, that's not an easy solution in a difficult situation. But it is a way in which not only you can be a light to the world, but you yourself can be transformed. Because in difficult circumstances, you are poured out in new and better fashion. It's a way of getting rid of the dross So we're talking about a change that can take place in you so that you can be an ever greater testimony to the world. Again, hard words to follow, but actually very rewarding. Most of the time what we do, and you probably have experienced this, your testimony in the prologue to the question sort of underscores that most of the time what we're doing in relationships is we're always looking for the grass that's greener on the other side of the fence. And most of the time when we get there, the grass is dead. It's not quite as beautiful as you thought it would be. And now you're in the situation, but don't seek to leave the situation. Seek to see the redeeming grace of God in the midst of the situation. Now, if your husband leaves, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you're not bound in that circumstance. But if he's willing to stay, and you might want to read this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, do not get a divorce. Also, I want to commend to you a fantastic article that we did in the Christian Research Journal, and you can find it on the web at equip.org. It's titled Biblical Grounds for Divorce and Remarriage. And I think this is the thing you want to do as a participant in the kingdom, as a follower of Christ. You want to find out what his precepts are and how you can put them into practice. So an article like this, I think, will be very, very significant as you go forward. We'll see you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.